The Right to Ricky Sanchez podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook by using promo code RTRS and brought to you by Briggs Auction, the official auction of The Process at BriggsAuction.com. Kornblau and Kornblau, the official law firm of The Process, and Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka from Stateside, the official sponsor of the Corner 3 newsletter with Zoe and Mike and Spike. Subscribe at RightsToRickySanchez.com/newsletter. On the show today, Sixers drop game one to the Knicks. Relatively close game. Embiid scare in the middle of it. Injury scare. We will talk about all of that. Before we get going, Stateside is the home of Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka. Look, Sixers lose a game in the playoffs. You want to drown your sorrows at home? Do it with Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka. Only 3 grams of sugar. Only 100 calories. Tastes better than any canned alcoholic beverage in its class. Anyone, it tastes way better. And it's iced tea, so it doesn't have carbonation in it because iced tea does not have bubbles. Try the iced tea, the Surfside iced tea, the Surfside lemonade iced tea and vodka, the peach tea and vodka. And there's new flavors coming. New flavors are coming. Go to statesidevodka.com. And if you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe and turn on notifications. We are live after every single playoff game. And if you subscribe and turn on notifications, then you will get notified when the pod is live. Without any further ado, Amos and the chef.
Larry, sweetie, the man is here.
Say the name. I say the name. I say the name.
We will write y'all.
Welcome to the Right to Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Eskin, along with a guy who might be a clone. Might be a clone. That is one Mike Levin.
Had to win that game, man. Had to win that game. Embiid's a fucking plus 15 in 37 minutes. You have to win that game. He almost, you know, looked like his playoffs were over for a little bit there. You have to win that game. Jalen Brunson shoots 8 of 26. You just got to win that game. You just have to. And like, they gave up 23 offensive rebounds.
Well, they're the Knicks, I think, are the best offensive rebounding team in the league, and the Sixers are not a great defensive rebounding team. Not even a good defensive rebounding team, I don't think.
23 offensive rebounds is inexcusable for an NBA team. And it's just embarrassing, you know. So many bounces they're just not getting to. They're getting out toughed, out physical over and over again. I wouldn't have minded like one over the back call. Just like even one would have been nice.
We're not doing calls.
It was just a really fucking frustrating game, man. It's a really fucking frustrating game. They played great defense on Brunson all game long. Tobias and Oubre started on him, gave him length. Batum came in, gave him length. Embiid wasn't in a full drop. He was hedging a lot. He was meeting him at the level. And then after he gets hurt, obviously he has to go into drop a lot more. They go into zone a little bit to try to, you know, protect his mobility some. I thought Maxey played great on Brunson, came around the screen, tipped a pull-up three from behind, blocked a little floater from two. I thought they did a great job on him. And then they just...
By the way, they've like, done a good job on him all year. Even though the Knicks have beaten the Sixers pretty badly, Brunson has not really shown out in any of those games. They do seem to have a good, I don't know, whatever it is, a good plan for him this year. They have. They've played well against him. I couldn't figure out... What the fuck was going on in the last 30 seconds of the game?
They were fouling and they just weren't calling it. They were fouling. They kept slapping him on the hip. The obvious like motion to do a take foul, just be like, hey, I'm fouling. And the refs just weren't giving it to them. And then by the end of the shot clock, it's like, well, we may as well play this possession out and try to get it. And obviously they get another offensive rebound because Josh Hart does that. Just really frustrating. I mean, just really frustrating. I just don't understand why Jalen Brunson is having a bad game. You're making him, he's 1 of 6 from 3 on the day, and you're just showing soft doubles to him. It's just, I'm texting Mike O'Connor. We're arguing about it right now. But like they had good half court defense on him the whole time. You just don't need to show help like that. And it's one pass away, one easy pass away. Josh Hart was 4 of 8 from three. The whole game plan was let Josh Hart shoot. Well, he's a good player. He has good touch. He was 8 of 10 from the foul line. He was 4 of 8 from three. Deuce McBride, 5 of 7 from
three. Hold on.
Time out. This is, they give a wide open three to Ananobi. Why you lose the game? Because you're just showing too much help and they don't have the personnel. They do not have the personnel to do that. If you're Miami, if you had the athletes that New York has, then you can do that. But they didn't have the personnel to do it. Tobias is too slow. Lowry's too small. Maxey's too small. Embiid's not mobile enough. Like there are just not enough buddies, too small and too slow. Like they're not the,
you have to make
personnel to do that.
You have to make choices. Like you're talking about how well they played against Brunson. Part of how well they played against Brunson was exactly what you're talking
individual
about.
Defense. Individual defense. Maxey coming from behind. Oubre making it tough.
Josh Hart shooting 8 3-pointers.
Not wide open. Not wide open. He's an NBA player. He's a good NBA player. He's not Ben Simmons. He's not Matisse. He's not Mitchell Robinson. He's a good NBA player. He has good touch. Like he can hit those and he did. And that's why, that's one of the main reasons why they lost, is because they gave up too many wide open threes. And then there were some fluky
30%
ones.
30%
like,
from three.
He's a career 34%.
He is an unwilling.
He's a career 34%.
He is like, unwilling. He is an unwilling below average 3-point shooter. You have to make choices.
Yeah. If I don't like the choice that they made. So I would rather continue to do what they were doing that was working for most of the game, which was defending Brunson straight up, showing help with the big setting the screen. And making it hard on them, and then getting back and trying to fucking box out, for God's sakes, which they weren't doing.
Sometimes the plan that you have doesn't work. Sometimes the plan that you have doesn't work.
To me, it was working, and then they were like panicking late in the game and just trying to get the ball out of their best players' hands, and they were beaten by role players hitting shots.
Right, and you have to live with that.
I don't want to live with that. I'd rather live with Jalen Brunson, who is the smallest guy on the court, who is playing. How many minutes did he play? 41 minutes. He was 8 of 26. He was a -5 on the day. Like he wasn't destroying them. He had probably until the last couple minutes of the game, probably had 4 assists and 5 turnovers. Like he was not playing good basketball. And then they just defer to like, we got to get the ball out of his hands.
One of the threes that Josh Hart hit had a guy in his chest.
For sure. But that's because, and Deuce McBride hit another prayer also. Like, But that happens once you let guys get comfortable. Get comfortable from three, then they start to feel good about it, and they start to get in rhythm, and they start to hit those shots. It's just tough, man. I would rather contested twos from a guy that they are giving length to. Oubre's great on him. Falls asleep a couple times. Some defensive lapses.
Do you know who hits contested twos all year long? All year long.
Absolutely.
Against every team. Jalen Brunson.
He wasn't hitting them tonight. And
until he does.
You're saying you want to live with it. I want to live with the other one. I'm making him have to make plays and then go at him on the other end. And then I'm going at him on the other end every single time. It's just like, I understand that I'm a broken record about this, and sometimes it works. And if I had different personnel, it would be a different situation. But it's just so many wide open threes for good NBA players. Good NBA players off the catch can hit those shots. And it really frustrated me in the game that they had to win, because Embiid's probably not going to play game 2. Obviously, we're guessing, but this is the way that the Sixers do this. He's going to play when he gets hurt, and then he'll miss the next one. And
he had to play in the second half of this game. He had to play in the second half of this game. Like,
I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just saying, like, realistically, like, he's probably going to miss the next game because that's what the Sixers. That's what happens with Joel and with the Sixers.
I'm not so sure that he's not going to play the next game. We'll get to that, of course. I actually thought the they lost the game in for two reasons. One, like, legitimately, Embiid going out for the last few minutes of the second half was crushing. They got I don't know what they were outscored in the rest of that quarter, but it felt like 15-0.
It was like a 9-0 run afterwards, I think.
Yeah, it was that. And
they scored 12 points in the second quarter. Brutal.
And then the second thing was, for the first half, Maxey seemed terrified for the first half. Again, Oubre was pretty invisible for the first half. Tobias Harris truly looks like he's shaving points. Batum was not good, but like, did Batum even hit a 3-pointer tonight? Was he 0-3, 0-4?
He had a 3 the first possession that he played and then didn't do anything really the rest of the game.
Right. Like, I think we go back and forth about the specifics of it, which we will. all this tells me, see, I'm not so sure Embiid's not going to play the second game. This is going to be exactly the series we thought it was. Assuming Embiid is playing, this will be exactly the series we thought it was. It'll be a tough series. They are a pretty evenly matched team overall. I think if Embiid plays in all the games, I still think they'll win the series. It was a tough game. I think they had, I really don't want to wait around for Maxi to show up until the third quarter again. I think that is the lesson in this, is that if Embiid, even if Embiid plays every game, he is clearly compromised and he is not going to, the mid-range game is completely gone. He has no lift on anything. So even if he's playing, he's going to, like, we're going to need more out of Maxi than we got, at least in the first half. The Rights to Ricky Sanchez is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. So the second game, I'm looking at DraftKings Sportsbook now. Second game, this, the Sixers are +5. Knicks are -5. The first game opened up, I think, at Knicks -2.5 and settled in at Knicks -4. And then I saw -4.5. So that line sort of feels like it's an Embiid is going to play line. I think it would probably be minus, you know, it would be Sixers +7.5 or Sixers +8 if it was not. So we will see. The only place that you can bet during the playoffs is DraftKings Sportsbook, the official presenting sponsor of the Rights Ricky Sanchez podcast and an official betting partner of the NBA. Same game parlays, which you can do. We'll have our own same game parlay for the second game, of course. Bet Live, which, man, while the Sixers were making that run, I wished I had made the live bet at halftime. I sort of felt like they were going to be in it. I guess I don't wish that I did it because I would have lost the money anyway. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code RTRS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Again, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code RTRS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code RTRS. Only at DraftKings. Crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Got to be 21. See show notes for details. Embiid overall, I think they can win this series if that's the Embiid they get. The entire series.
He looked excellent before he got hurt.
Yes.
An incredible first quarter. They were defending him pretty straight with Hartenstein or Robinson, and Embiid just was too smart for them, too quick, too nimble, and looked really good. He's gotten very comfortable shooting straightaway threes, even contested. He's really willing to pull from there.
Which is crazy because it seemed to have happened. He got comfortable with it while he was hurt.
When he was hurt, yeah, for sure. I like watching him face up. I think that's a good look for him when it's like an empty side and it's just him going at him. He started hesitating a little bit in the second quarter, even before he got hurt. Started to like think a little bit too much, dribble a little bit too much. I like him just getting the ball out of his hands quick, either go or stay or kick it out. I mean, defensively, he's just so good, man. He didn't have any blocks, but he forced so many high floaters at the rim.
And you could see there was one, it happened a few times, but there was one down the stretch where I think it was Hart was underneath the rim and was about to lay it up and saw him and then just ran out of the paint. Yeah. You know?
I just, obviously he throws it off the backboard to himself. Crazy play. Probably shouldn't have made it, but like unbelievable play. He just plays his ass off all the time and goes down. He has blood on his knee. Comes back in the third quarter and looks still pretty good. Like, obviously not quite as mobile, but I thought he looked like he looked.
I was so encouraged. You said how good he looked in the first half before he hurt himself. That sort of came out of nowhere to me, based on how he looked against the Heat.
Yeah, I think the zone really like slowed him down a lot and made him feel like there was no place for him really. But yeah, I mean, a couple of really strong finishes and one early on in the game. Got to line 12 times. That full court pass from to Oubre was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable pass. Brunson's hand was right there. That bounce pass with like touch on it. Just crazy, crazy good pass. And I think then as good as he looked earlier, I really didn't love the fourth quarter offense. They scored 12 points in the second quarter. They scored 22 in the fourth. And I think a lot of it was because they just kept kind of going to Joel. He was getting, I think, tired and didn't have the lift to get into his deep mid range, especially with Robinson on him, is really long, really good shot blocking instincts, really good at contesting. I would have liked to get deeper post position or at least use Embiid as like more of a decoy, like, you know, get post position, draw the double team, kick it out over and over again. And it just seemed like there was a lot of late clock not much movement, Embiid dribbling, nothing looking good there. But it's a bummer because I thought he played an excellent game. I mean, it's a plus 15 in 37 minutes. They gotta win that game. They just have to win that game.
I don't know what it's gonna take for and the thing that really hurts him, by the way, as from an offensive perspective, is the mid-range not being there. You know, like that sort of rock him to sleep thing and then shoot from 15 to 17 that was so deadly all year. It's just not there. It's hitting the front of the rim every time. And
he's
think,
farther back.
Yeah, that too.
If he's
sure.
at the nail, then I think he get it. But he doesn't have that kind of lift in his knees right now over Robinson to do it from like 20 feet away, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what it's going to take to get... Oh, and the dunk. You know, it was a cool play. Sure. And I'm actually... People were upset about it. I don't think it... Like, physically, it was too much different than any dunk's going to be for him during the playoffs. Any hard dunk. And Lisa Salter said afterwards that a lot of times he just sort of gets spooked when it feels weird and he's not sure. super confident in the knee. So who knows what that's going to be. I know Nurse says after, I want to talk about Maxi. Can we talk about Maxi?
Yeah, I didn't think he looked as scared as he thought. I thought he played a pretty excellent game. Obviously, he turned it on more in the third quarter and kept beating them going right and finishing at the rim and stuff. But I thought he didn't have any turnovers in the first half. Like he took 26 shots, I think, played 43 minutes. I think I thought he played great.
I just don't need him to bide his time, which he seems to do sometimes. And he did in the first half of the year. I just like, it's not like he was getting other people involved. He's just, it's sort of weird when he's not scoring, he's just sort of passive, I guess. When he's not scoring, he's not doing much of anything. And I guess I just sort of wanted more from him. In the second half, he was excellent. He was awesome. He had a bunch of big shots, and I'm still consistently amazed with how quick on layups he gets that ball on the backboard.
Unbelievable.
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. I've never seen another player do that forever. We compared him to Kyrie, like as a finisher. They're completely different in how they do it, but they're both like the same kind of effective right around the rim that they are. And they didn't get, well, why don't we go to Tobias?
Well, let me say okay. a couple more things about Maxi. I mean, just the mismatch hunting, anytime he's got any mismatch on him, Bogdanovich, any of the bigs, I become like Mad Max Fury Road, like start foaming at the mouth and like batting my chest, just yelling for him to attack. He's just so fucking good, dude. There was, we needed him to take over in the third, especially with Embiid hobbled. He had a couple driving left and finishing up and under. Sixers Twitter got a good picture of that with his like legs like sort of flailing in both directions. He got to that right hand from the opposite side so easily. The play where he brought Hartenstein out and then like blew by him for a righty scoop finish was crazy. He did the same thing to Mitch Robb a few players later. I mean, he had 12 points in the third. Him and Lowry really kept him afloat in the third.
Lowry's a motherfucker, man.
Yeah, we'll get to Kyle, but the like. He just wasn't shooting that well, I think, Maxi. I think he hit his last two threes, but like I think it was 1 of 7 from three for it just didn't seem like he was feeling it. He hits a big three over Mitchell Robinson after Embiid won the tip. I mean, he got to his floater well. The Embiid Maxi dribble handoffs are just really hard to cover because if OG goes under Maxi, then Maxi's going to pull, and if he goes over, then Maxi's going to win a foot race to the rim. Or if the big drops too much, then all of a sudden Embiid starts rolling or you know finds that little pocket pass or something. It's a really tough thing to cover if they're on point with it. And if they have to help too much, then it's got to be a swing to one of the other wide open guys that they left. I just thought his hesitation and change of pace really, really froze the Knicks a lot. And he just kept blowing by him and get to the rim. I 33 points on 26 shots at the Garden. All of his turnovers came late in the game. I just thought he was excellent. And it's a lot on his shoulders, especially with Embiid, like not being able to, you know, do as much as he can, even though Embiid did play well as well. But you know, you need some of the other, you need Tobias to be not as bad. You just really, at the end of the day, need Tobias to not be like one of the worst players in the playoffs right now.
I don't think currently
he is.
I don't think he can play anymore.
He might not be able to.
Yeah, I think they gotta. I I have been down with, I've been obviously over the last several years more negative on Tobias than you have.
Sure. And I've gone through the journey and I try to appreciate him when he does good things and I try to appreciate the thing. I don't want to just be a broken record saying it over and over again, but like,
I'll be a broken record on that.
Sure. I mean, we both have our things where we have a broken record about.
Yeah. But in the playoffs, I was pretty much resigned to, okay, start him, play him however many minutes he earns, right? We can see what kind of Tobias game it's going to be. Let's see what kind of game it is. If it's a bad game, play him 14 minutes. If it's a good game, play him 32 minutes, whatever.
Yeah.
He has missed shots in a way. Like, he had just sort of like the triple crown of fucking awful in the second quarter where he missed. Somehow this guy misses threes long.
So bad.
And they don't. They slam off the backboard, like left or right or something.
And he backpedals like, that one's in. Like, the backpedal indicates that he thinks it went in. And it is, it's off some of the worst misses you've ever seen.
Ever.
Keep going. What's the
so is that
triple crown?
Had two just awful passes in the second quarter. Just atrocious giveaways. Just like pick Kirk Cousins in the playoffs level pick six bullshit from Tobias Harris. And then the foul at
on
Josh Hart, just
when they're in the bonus. Yeah.
Yes.
3 points.
So stupid. What the fuck are you doing? It did seem like he was working for rebounds, but
had a couple contested rebounds.
Yes.
That I would give him credit for.
But I would, I feel like the words are coming out of your mouth. I feel like these are your words coming out of my mouth.
Let's do it.
I would rather see KJ Martin and Ricky Council in those minutes.
Yeah.
I would rather see KJ Martin and Ricky Council in those minutes at this point.
The Knicks double off Tobias religiously. They are begging for Tobias to be the one to take those shots. They're daring him to do it.
Dude, and he steps into him like he's the most confident motherfucker on the planet. And he just throws it off the fucking backboard.
7 points, 3 of 7 from the floor in 31 minutes. 1 for 4 from 3, zero free throws. He has Brunson on him for a lot of the game. Can't do anything with him. Can't do it. There were a couple buckets he had in the fourth that felt like the league office handed them a couple points. Like, it felt like, are we allowed to do this? So that was tough. Yeah, I agree. You know, I agree that I would rather see Ricky Council for a lot of these minutes. I think that at least energy wise, athleticism wise, contesting on defense, every single rebound is obviously Tobias did have 9 rebounds and some of them were contested. And I don't want to overlook that, but so many more rebounds were just outside of his reach because his reaction time is so slow. And I would just rather see Ricky Council get some of those and give them some juice and give them some off-ball juice. And like, there's so many times when a guy's dribbling in front of Tobias and I'm like, just poke it out.
Yeah.
Just try something. And he just...
Like Oubre does. Oubre pokes a lot.
He just has really bad instincts in so many ways. And when he's not getting into daddy touch time and hitting some of those shots... And he's not a threat as a catch and shoot guy because he's too slow and he's hitting the side of the backboard. Like, what is he doing there?
Yeah.
It's really very sad. And it's, we're, you know, obviously there was the Tobias, like, possible burner account situation. There's the every post-game article from Keith Pompey leaked from Tobias's family.
His brother harassing people and DMs.
I didn't see that actually.
Oh, that hasn't been posted anywhere.
Okay, cool.
I'll tell you about that. Yeah,
but like, we're in Yip territory. We're in Ben Simmons territory, and like, obviously, he's not going to come back. So I just think if you got to start him because that's what it is, it's too hard to, you know, keep his starting streak alive,
Cal Ripken.
They didn't pack any like whiteboard erasers for the road, so you have to leave him as a starter. Fine, but like, he doesn't need to play 31 minutes. He's not good enough. And I would rather get a boost of youthful energy and youthful ignorance, and he doesn't know what he doesn't know from Ricky Council confidence to like see what fucking happens, because so much of this game, it just felt like the Knicks have more players on the court than we do. And he was really, really horrendous.
The Rice Ricky Sanchez podcast is brought to you by Briggs Auction, the official auction of the process. You say auction? What are you talking about? They are a four-generation family-owned and operated auction house in Garnet Valley. What do you care about that? Well, so much cool shit. So much cool shit, collectibles, furniture, clothes. I've got art. I've got like World War II fucking propaganda posters that I've gotten from Briggs Auction. It's cool. Download the Briggs Auction app on Apple from the App Store or Google Play. The CJ item of the week is truly a CJ item of the week this time. CJ, tell him about it. Steve from Briggs Auction told me about this.
I don't need to give a spiel anymore. This is, it's the greatest chair. It's heavily, heavily discounted.
The C in CJ stands for chair.
Chair. I have a Herman Miller Aero chair had one at WFAN. They're perfect. They're just incredible. The greatest chair.
You'll have it forever. If you work from home or you spend a lot of time at a desk, you should have a good chair, and this is one of the best.
It is. Go to briggsauction.com. Now that chair is from the auction that expires on April 26th. They have brand new auctions usually every week, sometimes two auctions a week. Download the app or check the website, briggsauction.com. If you win lots, which both me and CJ have, bought tons of shit, you could pick up on Saturdays at open pickup, make an appointment for during the week, or they'll work with you on a shipper. And if you have a bunch of stuff, I think they have another sports auction coming up too. If you have a bunch of stuff and feel like that an auction is the thing for you, send an email to Briggs Auction at info@briggsauction.com. Briggs Auction, the official auction of the process. Can we talk about Kyle Lowry?
Yeah.
What a motherfucker, man. He's great. Man, I wish we've had him for the last 10 years. If we had traded for him like 5 years ago, we might have a title. He's better. I've watched him plenty. Maybe it's because he sticks out like a sore thumb because he always knows what he's doing, like Batum, because he's just a grown up basketball player with playoff experience. But man, he was fucking awesome tonight. He was just really good. And he is, I love that he'll take a shot when nobody wants to take a shot. He'll sort of settle everything down when it needs to be settled down. He takes charges. He gets steals that seem impossible to get without fouling. I hope he plays another year. I want him on the team next year. Somebody said on Twitter he should be our Udonis Haslam. I'd love for him to be our Udonis Haslam. Keep him on the team till he's 44.
And he's still, look, he shouldn't be playing 38 minutes anymore, but
yeah. But he's good the whole time.
He was good, man. He still looks pretty quick for the most part. Like, not as quick as he used to be. Not Nova quick, but like, dude, he's just really good. A great strip on Josh Hart from behind early in the game. Had a full court pick six into an N1. Iconically good at grifting still to this day. Yep. He really, you know, I mentioned Maxey in the third, but Lowry kept us afloat in the third too. Like, I'm just on the couch yelling Heat culture at him. Like, just fucking finds a way, man. He's 4 of 7 from three at 18 points. He moved the ball. He made plays. He got mad at other people when they fucked up defensively. I think they're, you know, it's a real bummer that, you know, I'm still arguing with Mike O'Connor via text message about the overhelping, but he mentioned that the Knicks had a 76.5 offensive rating in the half court. And the reason why they won this game is because of the offensive rebounding. Obviously, they won the rebounding battle 55-33. That's just inexcusable. But part of the reason why why their half court offense was as bad as it was, because Lowry is that good. It's Embiid at the rim. It's Maxey's improvements as a defender. It's, you know, Batum and Lowry setting the tone, just being high IQ players and for the most part being in the right place. Like, I can quibble with, man, I thought Lowry and Batum were a little bit farther off shooters than I would like. Even if they were covering them, they were kind of giving it. I just feel like Bogdanovich is the guy that always kills us.
Always. Since the first bust the process, by the way, when he scored like 50 points
absolutely
in Brooklyn.
And, I would just like make him put it on the deck. I just don't want him to take any catch and shoot threes without someone being right in his fucking forehead. But I thought he was great. Both guys were great. I mean, Batum wasn't good offensively. Lowry had a good offensive game. Batum didn't do that much, but had a huge block from behind on Boyan in transition, which was a great play. It saved some bad turnover. I forget who it was. Even Batum got he's so good at that. Like, nothing's going Everyone seems like they're on their heels. And then he cuts middle. And as he catches it on the cut, he whips it to the opposite corner for three. And they got a maxi three out of that. It seems like he does that all the time. Just two guys who are really smart, who know the game, who know where to be. And Nurse trusts them very much. Let's talk about the bad. I want to talk about Oubre in a sec, but I'm sort of wanting to get to, like, they need another. It would be really helpful if D'Anthony Melton was healthy. They really could use him very, very, very badly.
You know what? That actually, I think it's related. Like, if Buddy Hield was 50% of what we thought Buddy Hield would be, we would be in a lot better shape on offense.
I mean, he's played 11 minutes. He took 1-3.
He doesn't shoot.
He just doesn't shoot enough.
He doesn't shoot. He is more. Remember, one of the frustrations with Seth Curry was like he had to be. It took too long.
Yeah.
It seems like Seth Curry shoots fucking 15 times as much as Buddy Hield does. And I know this. I know he's much smaller. Blah blah blah. I'd rather have campaign in the game at this point than Buddy Hield.
Well, so did Nick Nurse. Nick pulled him. Buddy for a second. Cam didn't do anything. Only played 3 minutes. I would have rather him be in for those non-maxi minutes. Because I think they need a little bit just more on ball juice, especially with Tobias doing as little as he's doing. But yeah, Buddy, like, if you're not going to shoot threes, the gravity helps, but you also have to use it.
The points would help too.
The points would help as well, 100%. Yeah. Yeah. And I like the attacking closeouts and stuff, but you also need to be, you're one of the best 3-point shooters of all time. He's just not shooting. And then when you get beat on ball defensively, it's kind of like, it's just a little frustrating. I mean, in a game when Deuce McBride had 21 points and was 5 of 7 from 3, and Buddy Hield had 0 points and was 0 of 1 from 3.
How does he shoot 1 3-pointer? It's really the thing he's most famous for.
It's bad.
Yeah.
It's frustrating and it's a little it's upsetting that the non-Embiid minutes were so bad, because I really don't think B-ball played badly.
I think
it was a pretty, in 11 minutes, 4 points, 5 rebounds, 3 offensive rebounds, 2 big offensive rebound finishes over Mitchell Robinson. Always looks like an accident when
every
the
time
goes in. Had a couple blocks. Rim protection was great. Even had a drive and kick in transition that I held my breath on. That was a Batum missed three. It's just without Embiid back there, everyone just sort of feels like they're in scramble mode, and then the offense isn't as good. Like, there was one time, like I think Maxi went up for a layup somewhere in transition. Was physical, didn't think it was a foul, but they didn't call it. And then B-ball's like dropping in like the 4-on-4 or 5-on-4. And then he doesn't go to Boyan for three, and Boyan walks into a three because they're just not matching up defensively. It's just tough, man. Like, they're just a really athletic team. And they're really fast, and they get out in transition, and they get on the offensive glass. And it's going to be that way all series. And especially when you turn the ball over, it seemed like the Sixers only had 11 turnovers, way fewer than the Miami game. But the turnovers seem to just crush you in addition to the scores of offensive rebounds. They'll just keep killing you in transition, especially when you miscommunicate like the Sixers did a few times, and you just got to find the shooter. And it seems like that's what Lowry was getting mad at people about, where you're just like, you got to match up. You got to find somebody. And Tobias is always bad at finding somebody. And B-ball is good at, like, okay, this guy has the ball, I'm covering him. But it seems like everyone's a step slow in identifying who to be on, and just to survive those transition opportunities. And the Knicks got out and run, and they scored, let me look at it. Transition, fast break points, 27 for the Knicks, 11 for the Sixers.
Dude, honestly, if we're going to get out rebounded like this, start Paul Reed instead of Tobias Harris. Sure. for all I care.
Start Ricky
for instead of Tobias, or start Batum, I guess. I thought, there was only legitimately one Paul Reed moment tonight where I was like, you're not going to do this, are you? You're not going to do this. It was like he got a steal or a rebound, and he pushed the ball. Yeah.
That was the one where he found it. It was a good play, but it was a scary play.
It was terrifying. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a frustrating one. I mean, I just think, like, the other guys didn't play well enough. He obviously didn't do enough to, he was still in 11 minutes. He was still minus 21. Like, I'm not saying he played perfect basketball, but I don't blame in a different way from when it was Amir Johnson at the end of his career, or Greg Monroe, or Boban, or Paul Millsap, or the corpse of DeAndre Jordan, or name anybody, Dwight Howard. Like, it was just, I don't think it was fully his fault in a way that, man, if we just had a capable backup center, we win these minutes. I think it was like a team-wide failure in those minutes to survive them. Oubre, I thought, played pretty good. I agree that he was a little bit invisible in the first half, but I thought his defense on Brunson was great. He finished a plus eight in 39 minutes. He had five steals.
He was good in the second half. He was like, part of that run in the third quarter as well. You know,
physical length.
Defense was awesome.
Transition. He's going to have those lapses. He's going to have some where he, like, you know, just sort of spaces out for a second or plays a little lackadaisical off ball and then goes, oh shit, I should be covering this guy. And then he gets beat for a three. But his length and he has strong hands are just such assets. He does a great job down there. A bunch of cuts that Embiid finds him on. They seem to have a connection on those. I think almost all of his buckets or almost fouls were because of those Embiid passes. I will say he only took two threes in 39 minutes. And one of them that he didn't take was passing up a corner three wide open. And then he ended up attacking it and they called a travel on it.
I don't remember it. When was that? Do you remember?
I think probably in the second or third quarter.
Okay.
Ball gets swung to him, wide open corner three. He goes like, I don't really feel comfortable shooting this wide open. Truly no one. And then he tried to attack the rim and they called a travel on him as he moved his feet before he dribbled. And it's just like, dude, you gotta be a shooting threat. You cannot be in there unless you're willing to take those shots. They have to consider you a shooting threat. You got to shoot it. And then he did get hit a big three a couple minutes later off of a Lowry pass, but two threes, not enough. It's in the same ways that you can't play 39 minutes and only take two threes. Like we gotta make him pay more for helping onto Maxi or Embiid. But I thought he was great. He was good enough.
And he's
definitely
playing
good enough.
By the way, like he is not playing like a guy we had said a million times. And even though you had obviously been more positive on him than I, even you were like, at some point during the playoffs, he'll win a game for us and lose a game for us.
For sure.
He is not playing like a guy that will lose us a game in the playoffs. He's playing better. Team ball. Yeah.
He's playing team basketball, smart, considerate, thoughtful basketball, which is great.
I'm in on him. I hope they re-sign him. Like not only have I turned so hard that I'm an advocate. Yeah.
Tobias gone, Buddy gone. I think Lowry, Batum, Oubre would be nice to keep.
Can you believe, hold on, I'll bring this up right after Kornblau and Kornblau, the official law firm of the process, premier personal injury, boutique personal injury law firm in the Delaware Valley. What does boutique mean? It means that you're not walking into some big sort of like hulking, massive operation that isn't going to care about you. When you reach out to Kornblau and Kornblau at 215-576-7200, ask for Adam or send an email to kornblau@kornblauandkornblau.com, KORNBLAU. You're going to get Kornblau. You're going to get him. You're going to get the guy who's been doing this for years, who works at the law firm that's been around for 40 years, who has some of the biggest medical malpractice results in all of Southeastern PA. You're going to get the guy who works at several offices in the Delaware Valley. But listen to this. If you want him to come to your home, he'll come to your home. A personal injury lawyer that does house calls? What the fuck are we talking about? We're talking about Kornblau. Whether you've been injured in a car accident, slip and fall, injured at work, or medical malpractice, Kornblau and Kornblau is where you got to go. And here's the great thing about Kornblau. If you have any other legal question, and several of our listeners have done this, he says feel free to reach out to him. He may not be able to represent you, but he can give you advice. Off the record, good advice. He's a great guy who does his job really, really awesome. And he's not like the other ones you hear advertised that are mostly referral services. He is the real deal. Again, if you've been hurt at all, cost you nothing. Well, like this, we're going to call him right after the pod. 215-576-7200, ask for Adam or email kornblau@kornblauandkornblau.com. Kornblau and Kornblau, the official law firm of the process. Can you believe people are talking about paying Buddy Hield $20 or $25 million a year? That seems impossible with what we've seen.
It's his first playoff appearance. It's cool for him. Been a pretty long career so far. Good. Happy he's in there. They're still going to need him to hit some threes at some point. But the magic I expected Buddy to be making with Joel has just not been there. He's just not that quick of a shooter. He doesn't get it off enough. He had a nice attack of closeout tonight, but I can't That's not what he's here for. No. I appreciate it. It was helpful in the Miami game.
Shoot the three, you fucker.
You just gotta shoot, dude. You just shoot it. Shoot. And he keeps missing layups and
he smoked an important one tonight, by the way.
I did think he got fouled on that, but maybe I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. They just need more guys to step up, and whether that means more consistent campaign minutes to see if he can get hot and get some offense through him.
He's not a scared guy, by the way. He's not scared.
Definitely not. I really do. I'm a little hesitant to say, it's like so on brand of me to say I want Ricky Council, but I think that like you need someone outside of Oubre who just like goes in high points of fucking basketball and nobody else on this team can do it. And the Knicks have so many guys. DiVincenzo can get up. Obviously, Josh Hart gets up. Anunoby gets very high. Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein are both very long center. Like, you got to have somebody that can just battle with them. And it seemed like every offensive rebound was the Sixers looking around and someone just being like 7 feet over their head. 23 offensive rebounds is inexcusable. Like, I'm very frustrated with some of those like soft doubling decisions at the end of the game. When Brunson wasn't playing well. But if you have to boil it down to one specific thing in this game, it's offensive rebounding in transition. And they didn't do a good enough job at either of them. And they still could have won this game. They could have given up 20 offensive rebounds in this game and won. 12 points in the second quarter, you can forgive, but they were up seven, I think, in the fourth, and they just kind of fell apart. And Joel didn't have it a little bit towards the end. Hard to blame him with you know what he's laboring through, but I would have liked a little bit more offensive juice and a little bit more like steal you a possession here and there type of thing, and they just couldn't quite the Batum three barrage from the other night that made everything feel okay. Nobody quite did it. I thought it might have been those Maxi dribble drives through traffic going right, finishing before the big can rotate over, but it just like you just or the those Lowry threes, you just needed a couple more.
So a couple of Joel things. First of all, Nick Nurse, this is per Kyle Newbeck. Nick Nurse said Joel Embiid will be assessed post-game as usual, but didn't provide much information after that. And also Joel Embiid decided not to talk to the media after the game, which is not a great sign. So the other thing Embiid related, talking about defensive rebounding, is even when he has looked good in his return, he's never been a great rebounder. He's always been like a pretty good rebounder, especially for his size and his position. Since he has come back from the knee injury, even when he hasn't been compromised, he has not been great on the boards. And he was not in this game either. He's played well, obviously. I think this team... I wonder what Nick Nurse is going to do about this. Can I ask you this about offensive rebounding?
Sure.
It seems like to me, and maybe this is just dumb guy, that if a team consistently, and Batum does this, but if the team in general, instead of trying to grab rebounds, tapped all rebounds out to the backcourt, you would be a great offensive rebounding team. Your backcourt is facing... Like the reason that works is your players are facing the rim.
Sure.
I just feel like every time the Sixers do that, they get the offensive rebound.
I love tap-backs. Tap-back offensive rebounds are things that the Sixers have not done that much in previous years. It seems like Batum definitely does it, and they've done it more often with him. It's a little bit, I've made this comparison before, but it seems like Eagles never get those defensive line bat downs I also want.
Yeah.
So similar mindset. The Knicks do a great job of that. And I mean, Embiid had five defensive rebounds in 37 minutes. Mitchell Robinson had seven offensive rebounds in 30 minutes. Isaiah Hartenstein had five offensive rebounds in 18 minutes. Jalen Brunson had five long rebounds offensively in 41 minutes. Josh Hart, four and 42. Like, you just got to go get it. You got to go get it. You got to box the fuck out and go get it. And if somebody's over your back, take a fucking dive. Get fouled. Draw the foul. Make them think twice about doing it. And they didn't draw any fouls on those rebounds. There's one bullshit call on Paul Reed on a rebound. That was a really bad call that pissed me off. I just don't think the six, let's say seven with Paul, Because I don't think Buddy is a lock for this rotation going forward in this series.
I'm stunned at how bad he is.
Yeah.
It's stunning.
Certainly can't argue with that tonight.
Yeah.
I think that if Embiid was healthy the whole game and they had to send doubles, them doubling off of Buddy, I think would have made the game more successful. But they didn't, Embiid got hurt and they didn't have a chance to do that as much. But I just think with this personnel, those seven, and Paul obviously comes in for Joel, haven't played together in the playoffs yet. They're just not going to be as successful. I don't think it's a mindset thing. I think it's a personnel thing. If Melton plays, that would be nice. If Covington plays, obviously unlikely, that would be nice.
That's not going to happen. Yeah. Melton would be helpful.
Melton warmed up before the game. He was ruled out, but he did warm up. He was shooting around. So it wasn't like he was just like in not participating at all. But that's why you look around and you said KJ Martin, certainly a possibility. Ricky Council, I think, same deal. Mo Bamba's not getting a fucking anything. But
KJ Martin has gotten better and better as the year has gone on at just sort of like doing what a player of his skill set should do. You know, he's in the right place. He cuts. He plays defense. It's just the same thing.
Ricky has much more like dribble drive game, whereas KJ, and he's proven he's at least in the G League and sometime in the league. I mean, we're down bad asking for Ricky Council, and I know that, but KJ is such a easy guy to double off of. Ricky a little bit harder, and he will make you pay attacking the rim and stuff. But I think the seven guys that are firmly in this rotation, I just don't think outside of Oubre and B-ball, they have enough guys who can just go get a fucking rebound really. And it's just going to, but that's about choices, right? Like, there's a give and take there, and you're going to sacrifice something else. If you take Buddy out of the rotation for Ricky, then you're sacrificing that kind of gravity and you're making Embiid and Maxi dribble handoffs more crowded because they can help off of KJ or Ricky more than they could help off of Buddy. But the reason you lost this game was because you gave up 23 fucking offensive rebounds. 23. I mean, that's not a number that you can live with.
By the way, it's not something that you couldn't see coming. It's something that you had to worry about.
We talked about it before. I talked about it on the Knicks podcast, the Knicks Film School podcast I was on yesterday. Like, that's what you're worried about. Like, the Knicks team are physical and athletic, and they play with an edge. And the Sixers, too often, even the Miami game, like too often things are just easy for the other teams. Even if they miss shots, Sixers have better shooters or better finishers sometimes, whatever. But like every entry pass is hard. Every inbounds pass is hard. Every like face up is fucking hard. And it seems like there's a little bit more lackadaisical effort on the Sixers end, even though the defense was good and Embiid cleans up so much down low. And I thought that they did play, as you mentioned, which they did most of the year, good defense on Brunson straight up. But it just seems like too often the other team has the easier path to getting decent looks, and the Sixers have to take either full speed maxi sprint while he's getting enveloped by Mitch Robinson's pterodactyl arms or like, you know, Embiid end of shot clock stuff. It's just, you wish it was a little bit easier sometimes.
Well, I mean, the thing is that, we'll see what happens the rest of this series obviously is toast if Embiid's not playing, but if Embiid's playing, this is a tough series, and this is what the playoffs are, a fucking grind. You know, it's funny. You go into a series, if you think the Sixers are going to win the series in six games, it means you're going to lose two fucking games. It was a tough game. But this is a absolutely winnable fucking series if Embiid is in there. They can win this series. Game two is massive. Getting game two would be huge, assuming Embiid is playing.
Yeah. I'm not feeling so good about it.
No? About him playing?
I mean, Embiid or not, even if he plays, I could see him being like closer to what he was in the Miami game. Which I just kind of have a bad feeling it might be like 121 to 90 or something like that.
Oh, no. Don't do this after one game.
I'm not feeling good, dude. I'm not feeling good.
They lost. They
should have. This was the game they should have won. Then you could lose. Then you could lose the next game
in MSG.
This was the game that they had to win, and it felt like it just all slipped away.
I have faith.
Very frustrating ways.
I have faith. They battled back. They played well. They didn't win. It's fine. I'm okay. Now, if Embiid doesn't play game two, I'm not okay. I'm way worse. But I think it was a tough game. They were up six, man. I was feeling it in the third quarter when they were up six.
Yeah. They were up six in the fourth, I think.
Was it the fourth? It was like 78-72. I thought it was the third.
I might be misremembering. Yeah. But it felt like firmly in grasp,
mm-hmm.
firmly possible. Just make them take tough shots, and then they got easy looks. And then everything with the Sixers seemed tougher.
Somebody keeps saying in the chat, we would have won with Danny Green. Maybe.
Danny Green, what year? What time machine are we taking to get Danny Green back from?
If you could, last question. I think I know the answer to. But if you could give minutes to one player that didn't play this game, it would be Ricky Council.
I mean, I know I'm
over KJ.
I know I'm a parody of myself, but yeah, I would say Ricky because I like his dribble drive and knack for getting fouled and at least some more threatening 3-point shot.
Okay. That's fair. Game two.
But I wouldn't mind fucking trying. We didn't mention it. We mentioned it a little bit, but.
Oh, here comes Jeff Dalton.
No, I like Jeff Dalton, but I don't think that's the difference really. Fucking give a B-ball Embiid front court a shot a little bit.
Just a little bit.
You need rebounding.
A little bit.
Put them both in there. Fucking ESPN. We've talked about this many months ago, but ESPN still lists Paul Reed as a small forward.
Does in the box score.
Paul Reed, small forward. Embarrassing.
Do you want to
call if he's a small forward, then like play him at small forward.
Dan Olinger is at Madison Square Garden, just texted me, was covering the game. Do you want to call him?
Not really.
No?
I'm sad. I'm sad Hold right on. Now.
Hold on. What do you think? CJ, pop up.
I was going to pitch MC to come on because it seems like you guys were in a debate earlier. But
do you want to call MOC or Dan?
Yeah, I mean,
Olinger?
Look, I can do MOC's thing. Like they had the game plan for the most part worked defensively. Half court defense was great.
Yeah.
And eventually they hit shots and that's going to happen sometimes. I just didn't think they needed to send the help that they did at that stretch in the game based on how Brunson was playing and how we were defending him.
Actually, I do have questions for Dan. I'm just going to call Dan real quick. Who is live at Madison Square Garden. Live at MSG.
Hello.
Dan Olinger, live at Madison Square Garden.
That's right, Spike.
Are you standing next to Nick Nurse?
I am standing next to Sam DiGiovanni, the intrepid Clutch Points reporter.
Okay. So here's my question for you. What effect do you think Ben Stiller and Jerry, you were in the building, Jerry Ferrara, Ben Stiller, what effect do you think they had on the game tonight?
Spike, I'm probably too young to answer that question. So
you're too young to know who Ben Stiller is?
I know who he is. I just don't care.
Okay. And what about Turtle from Entourage, who I think was there too? What about Turtle? What effect do you think he had?
Again, you're going in the range of I've heard the name Turtle from Entourage, but it means nothing to me for how young I am.
Okay. Mike, anything for Dan?
How is the view?
Honestly, for as high up as it is, it's actually really great that you can I'm surprised at how well you can see the court from that high up on the bridge.
Yeah. We're at the end of the pod. We were wrapping up the pod. I got your text. I asked Mike if you wanted to call you. I just wanted to ask you if you thought that Ben Stiller and Turtle had any effect on the game.
I can't do fucking celebrity beefs, man. I just can't. I can't do it. I can't go back and forth with them. I can't see the way that they like type
with Turtle.
I can't see Ben Stiller like inhabiting a character that he played fucking 20 years ago. I can't do it.
I'm with Mike on this one. It's the kind of thing where I just can't with it either.
Yeah, but Mike works in Hollywood, Dan. You're 19 years old or whatever, and you know, basketball lunatic. So again, no effect from Turtle.
None at all. Okay.
Okay. How about this? One thing. What last question? Because we're really wrapping up. Otherwise, I'd keep you longer. Let's say Joel Embiid plays the rest of the series and he was like he was in the second half. Are you optimistic or pessimistic about the Sixers winning the series?
I'm going to say I would be definitely way more optimistic than if he wasn't playing, because I still think Joel was very good in the second half, just because like he creates their advantages so well, because the Knicks have to guard him a certain way. Like the perimeter players on the team just like they were minus 21 in Paul Reed's minutes, and it wasn't Paul's fault. Like they just, the perimeter players can't function without Joel almost. It seems that just the spacing gets all messed up. They can't get free from any of the defenders, just completely screws up everything. So I would like it better if Embiid played like he did in the first quarter, but generally optimistic that if Embiid plays like that in the second half, it's good enough. I think the bigger swing factor is just like everyone not named Embiid, Maxey, and Lowry is going to have to play a lot better if they're going to be the Knicks probably.
And do you think...
Good job, Dan.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Dan. Please stay on the Turtle report. Let us know what Turtle does, what Ben Stiller does. If you maybe... did you take Amtrak there?
So I went to Hamilton and then to train from there.
Oh, NJ Transit or whatever. Well, maybe just Google their IMDBs. Ben Stiller's is very long. Turtle's is very short. So...
Is this like a homework assignment? Am I fired if I don't do this?
Nah, you're not fired. You're not fired. If you want to, thank you, Dan. We're going to, thank you, Dan. Get home safe, buddy.
We'll do.
All right. Dan's going to write something from the game. You can read Dan's writing at RightStoryEsanchez.com and just subscribe there. Game two is Monday. Game three is Thursday. First night of the first round of the NFL draft, game three, actually. I'm generally, assuming Embiid plays, I'm generally optimistic about the series after this game. That's me.
I'm going to need to see if he plays like he played in the second part of the game.
Yeah.
Like after the injury.
Yep.
Then okay. But I'm concerned it's going to look closer to the Miami thing. And the Knicks didn't play any zone.
They don't play zone.
They don't play zone. They should have looked. It's just a personnel thing. The Sixers are just too small and slow and unathletic to get those 50-50 balls, second chances. We're just back here. And I think Melton would help that a lot. Just if he's healthy enough to play, but it doesn't, who knows? And I'm really ready to pull that Ricky Council lever. And I know that I always am. I was probably ready to pull it even before Ricky was on the team. But I'm really ready to pull it now. This is where I go to. Give me athleticism. Give me a guy who dunks. I want Knicks fans like having nightmares about Ricky Council after game two.
That'd be nice. I'm all for a Ricky Council 8-minute run. He shoots six free throws somehow. Of them's an and one, something like that. Yeah.
Also, I think KJ's still kind of banged up a little bit.
Oh, is he? Do you have a foot thing?
He had a toe thing or a foot thing, something? If you don't fuck with me. I don't know. So.
All right. We will talk to you Monday night after the game. Fingers crossed about Joe. Are you done with TTP?
Yeah, you know, like this.
If you don't fuck with me, then I won't fuck with you.
If you don't fuck with me,
then I won't fuck with you.
But if you fuck with me,
I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Time for Plan B.